Tuesday edition. The Tausch's spring sabbatical continues edition, which means it's another Cousin Sub of the Day edition. I look like I'm moving in slow motion, which if I'm running like a 40-yard dash, someone would say that anyway. But in the video, I'm very slow. Does that concern you, Jesse? Edition. And the, man, 3 hours with this guy? How lucky are we? Edition. Of Wildy and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wildy in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from his humble abode, maybe the farm, maybe his house, somewhere in Florida, he is our famous friend. And just like he replaced Tausch in the starting lineup in 2010, he replaces him today as our Cousin Sub of the Day. It is Brian Bulaga. Brian, good morning. Thank you for your service.
Thank you. Good morning. It's good to be back with you guys as usual. Thanks for inviting me back. It's always fun.
I don't know if it's so much as of an invitation as more begging, but we're happy that you agreed.
It's an invite. I mean, I can't invite myself. I mean, I can't, you know, I can't text Jesse and say I'm co-hosting today. Just letting you know, hey, Tuesday's my day, so just letting you know.
That'd actually be pretty welcome around here, actually.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, anytime.
I kind of like it.
No. Okay, well, I'll keep that in mind for future reference.
So anything going on in your world first? Because when you fill in for Tausch, you know, obviously Tausch always comes into the show with something completely unrelated to the show sheet, which he never reads anyway. Anything going on? How was the soccer camp? I know you weren't coaching it. You were just in dad mode. But last time we saw you, you were in your vehicle. You were, it was like 85 degrees. Today here it's 28, but it's supposed to warm up later in the week. And you were at a soccer camp. How are things in the world of Brian Bulaga today?
Well, you know, it's. I'm glad you asked, because this week I'm riding solo this week. Abby has a bunch of her girlfriends down in Sarasota this week, so she's staying downtown with her friends for 4 days, and I'm kind of running the show here by myself. So, you know, I'm kind of taking to school. I'm picking up. I'm doing homework. I'm making dinners. I'm taking to soccer. I'm coming back home. You know, I'm doing it all. It's a lot of responsibility. I feel like, hey, I could mess this up. I may not mess this up. So there's a lot on my plate. But you know what? She deserves a break. She does way more than what she should. So I'm happy to do it. Obviously. She could do 10 of these a year and it wouldn't be enough. So, I'm happy to do it, but hey, I am a little nervous that every morning I'm forgetting something in their bag, or I didn't pack something, like, you know, I didn't put enough snack in there, you know, something's going to happen, or, you know, whatever. Like this morning, like, perfect example, my son, you know, Declan comes down the stairs and, you know, he looks at me and he looks over towards like where our TV is. We have this big cabinet thing. He looks over there and he looks at me. He looks back over there, and I'm like, what's up, man? Good morning. He's like, where are my clothes at? I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, I left them upstairs. He's like, I'll go get them. Goes back upstairs, brings back down all the clothes. I don't do those things. Like, that's normally not my job. So I gotta get back. Like, I took the clothes out. Like, I remembered to get them out, but I just left them on the desk. I didn't bring them down. So, like, I'm a little, you know, a little behind on the routine, so to speak.
So, first of all, you and Tausch and I are all in a club of we married up. We found people that we basically rely on them. Tausch with Sarah, me with Paula, you with Abby. That, look, if they decided to divorce all three of us and leave us and the kids, I don't think any of our kids would be in danger necessarily, but we wouldn't have the organizational structure that our kids have. Fair? Is that a fair critique?
It would be the Wild West. I could put it that way. Like it would be something to behold. I'll put it that way. Like how things would get done and how it would be organized around here would be interesting, because I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just for like a perfect example, like, you know, get up this morning, I'm doing things and, you know, get the kids to school. I come home and, you know, I do a quick workout because I got to jump on here. But like, I come in, you know, come into the bedroom and like, got to fold laundry. Like, I see a thing of laundry. She obviously left it for me to do, or maybe she didn't, but I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be helpful. But then there's another load in the dryer that I get out.
Uh-huh.
There's like just a lot of stuff that like I'm not used to doing that she just does no matter what. So like there's like, if it was me on my own, I'd be in some trouble. I would just be in some trouble. We'll just put it that way.
Yeah. So I do laundry. I do, you know, cleaning up after the animal. I do have my jobs, right? But I think the important stuff, like making sure they're eating in a healthy manner as opposed to just going places that are quick and easy to make my life easier, those would be the struggles. But I do think that we probably underestimate what we would be capable of if they left us. I just don't ever want to find out, because I don't want that theory to have to be proven or disproven. And these brief times where we're without them, It is a challenge. It is an undeniable challenge. So
it's a good reminder for you. It's a good reminder for you. Yeah, and it's like a little. It's a little like, hey, just a heads up. Like this could be. You know, if you are dumb enough, if you're dumb enough. But like again, like I said, I always say like she could do 10 of these a year, and it would be like it wouldn't be enough. You know what I'm saying? Like she could do as many as she wanted. For all she's put up with me, just not through my NFL career, but even just dealing with me on a daily. I'm glad that she gets to go have fun and do what she wants to do and be with her friends and enjoy, you know, some time away. But you know, business as usual for me, just jump on with you guys, you know, go to soccer practice, do some homework, and hey, just keep the routine alive. Keep the routine alive.
Well, we'll check back in with you once the she's on kind of her own version of the Tausch sabbatical. So we'll see. It's much shorter than Tausch's, but we'll see how things are going later in the week. All right, we're happy to have you, and it's a good thing it's not spring break, because then you'd be trying to juggle doing the show and all your responsibilities, and you wouldn't have school to kind of handle that part of the day. The girls are on spring break here. They're going to go do some fun stuff today, and Maddie's got a track meet. So we've got a lot of stuff going on here, but I want to get to a bunch of Packers things, because yesterday, Jesse, would you agree that we spent less time on the Packers than we normally do, even with America's favorite punter Brad Nortman in as our cousin sub of the day?
We did, but we somehow spent more time on the Packers than I expected we would yesterday at the same time. But yeah, a lot of Badgers conversation yesterday with Wisconsin losing in the second round of the NCAA tournament, which compared to the Iowa Hawkeyes, at least they were in the tournament, not hiring a new coach. So that's always good.
He can't help himself.
It's an interesting, you know, come at me deal. Like, you know, I the thing is, like, I picked Wisconsin to win the game and they busted my parlay. So like, I was cheering for the Badgers, and now you fire at me about like something that I was cheering for. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, you know what I mean?
It's a disappointing loss, but the grass could always be less green, I suppose, would be the way to look at it. And in this case,
I mean, let's look at it this way. Iowa finished the season the same as Wisconsin, trophyless.
True.
No trophies. They finished the season.
They also just hired the PJ Fleck of college basketball to become the new head coach with his gold tie he's going to be wearing for every game. That's going to get real old real quick.
You know what's interesting about that hire, though? If I'm not mistaken, I think his assistant coach that he's bringing is my old roommate, and he played with the Giants, and he passed away, is Tyler Sash's brother. I believe he was his assistant coach at Drake. And if I believe he would be bringing him with back to the University of Iowa. So there's a little small circle, moment there, him going back to the University of Iowa where Tyler played and Tyler loved. And obviously he was my roommate at Iowa. So if that happens, that'd be pretty cool. That'd be a cool thing that he gets to go back there and coach at the University of Iowa. But I don't know if he is going back there or not. I don't know if that's been announced, his assistant coaches, but like I said, he was his assistant at Drake. But again, I don't know. That'd be cool if he did, though. But you're right. Listen, I can't remember Iowa being good at men's basketball for a while. So like you're not making me feel bad by ragging on them. Like, you're not hurting my feelings. Like, it's, you know, it is what it is.
So if you don't mind, and if you don't want to go here, I totally understand. But for those that don't know Tyler Sash's story, he played in the NFL for a while. He passed away in 2015. I didn't realize he was your roommate. Having obviously been close with him, when you think about him today because of his brother coming along with Ben McCollum, I'm wondering what your feelings are, because he is one of those players that I think when you hear his story and when you think back to what he dealt with in terms of traumatic brain injury, perhaps, right? There are concerns certainly about that being a factor in his passing. I'm just wondering, how often do you think about your friend? And because on this show, let me be clear on something. We don't joke about CTE on this show, right? Now, Chewy makes jokes all the time about his forgetfulness, and that's how he deals with it. I have always said that I feel like a complete fool for never understanding how dangerous concussions were. And I always tell the story of Don Beebe suffering a concussion the first half of a game and being out cold, unconscious, and then catching a touchdown pass in the second half. And I look back and go, how on earth did I not say to myself, that is not a good idea? How were we so stupid about that? Because I've read Tyler's story multiple times, it's been told many times, his is a cautionary tale of not understanding how much peril you guys put yourselves in by playing this game. So how does that impact you and how you view the game, how you made a living, and losing a friend to what most likely was related to the hits that he absorbed?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly, for me, gives me a different perspective. It's a big reason why, just not my own experience from having concussions of playing the game, and I know the violence of the game, the physicality, but when people ask me about my son and when I want him to play and when I'm going to allow him to play, it's certainly a factor, because now we're talking about when I'm going to start exposing him to those hits, right? And I was exposed to those hits starting in second grade, as was Tyler when he started playing Pop Warner football back in Iowa. So, like, we're talking about the exposure to hits. And every parent makes that decision for their child, right? And my parents made that decision for me. And, you know what? No one's wrong or right in whatever it is, right? Like, I'm not saying my parents are wrong or Tyler. Like, I'm not saying that. But, like, everyone makes their decision. When I found out what happened with Tyler, obviously, absolutely shocked. Very, because we roomed together for about 2.5 years once we left the dorms. So like we were together, pretty much, nonstop. Once we left the dorms, and even in the dorms, we were together a bunch. That's how we built our friendship throughout our time. To move in together. So when I heard the news, it was very shocking. I it's hard to put into words when, you know, you not only you live with someone, then you know he goes to the NFL and he's making a name for himself and he wins a Super Bowl and he's, you know he's had injuries, right? Like, I know he hurt his shoulder. I know he had concussions throughout the NFL and you know he was dealing with some, you know, injuries throughout the offseason. But then when that happened and then you start hearing kind of what he was dealing with outside of it, it makes you think, right? Like, it makes you think what guys are going through besides what we just see, right? And mm-hmm. it really makes you question a lot. It does. Like, I don't regret anything that I did playing for one second. Maybe guys don't either. But it puts a human spin on what guys are going through and what people are doing. It was a hard thing to swallow when I got the news. And, you know, I know he did that bit. There was that big special that Brett Favre did. And obviously Tyler's family was interviewed a bunch with it, his sister, and all that. And it's because I remember that documentary normally gets played right around the same time every year, right around Tyler's, you know, birthday or somewhere around there. I always end up watching it around the same time. They always play it on ESPN or it comes up on the ESPN Plus. It always, for some reason, mm-hmm. it always shows up on my like, you know, favorites to watch or something like that around the same time every year. And I always watch it. And, because, you know, when you get to spend so much time with someone and you're a friend, you have these memories outside of football. And then you don't, you know, you don't get to see that person anymore. And it's, you want to remember, that person from outside of what he was dealing with, you know, whether that was mentally with, the brain injuries or whatever it may have been, you want to remember him. So, definitely tough. But it puts into perspective, like you said, how dangerous the game is and the consequences that come along with it. And you said it, guys know what they're signing up for, right? Like mm-hmm. if you don't know what you're signing up for, you better ask someone, because it unfortunately is what it is. Now, technology and the quality of helmet and all that, yes, that's getting better. I get it. The athletes are getting bigger. Jason, you see it. These guys are getting bigger. They're getting faster. They're getting stronger coming out of college. I mean, look at those Eagles defensive linemen, those two D tackles. These kids mm-hmm. are huge. They're enormous human beings, and they're fast, and they're strong. Like, I mean, we had guys that were similar. Like, you know, when we were playing, it was like the Aaron Donalds. Like, those types of guys that were not as big as that, but super quick and strong. Those dudes are enormous and strong and quick. Like, they're just getting bigger and bigger. And it's – the game's more violent. And that's it's hard to avoid. Every parent, every person has to make the decision that's best for their child. And that's really the way I view it. And you know, and it's a tough – decision for everyone, and I'm, you know, I get criticized from it, or I catch flack from my buddies all the time from, oh, when are you gonna let Declan play, when does he want to play, and when are you gonna mm-hmm. let him put pads on? And it's just like, he's just not ready yet, he's not developed yet, for my opinion, right? He wasn't built like me, you know what I mean? Like, just physically, he's not built like I was at his age, and mm-hmm. until I see him physically develop, I can't allow it.
Yeah, I didn't want this to necessarily take this turn, but I think it's an important conversation, and especially now realizing your relationship with Tyler. The documentary that Brian refers to that Brett Favre was part of, it's called Concussed. You can find it on Apple TV right now if you want to watch it. But knowing that you were so close with him, here my biggest thing about this, and then we'll lighten the mood after this, is that this is why. And I hope during my time covering you and you getting to know me, I hope this comes through with the guys I deal with. Like, yeah, you guys make money that I would never imagine having, right? It's a luxurious, incredible financial windfall of a life. But you're still people just like everyone else. And I think that there you know, you're going to get criticized for your performance, and that comes with the territory. I'm part of that industrial complex, but I always want people to understand that you guys are real people too. No matter what your bank account number is, no matter how much glory you get winning a Super Bowl, you're real human beings. And I think sometimes we forget that and we distill you guys down, well, not you because you don't have any fantasy football stats, but into football, you know, fantasy football statistics and did my team win or lose? And I bought these tickets and they got their asses kicked and I sat through the game in the snow and they got beat 42-17. And I do think it's important. And that's why I try to do it with my storytelling, too, that we remember that you guys are real people. And I think sometimes that's easy to forget. And I think when you talk about guys that were so impacted by CTE and concussions, and you pause to at least think about the danger, I hope that there is a slightly greater appreciation. You're right. It gives you a great life. And you don't regret playing football by any means. But I do think it's important to keep that perspective when you're watching the games and when you're unhappy when Josh Jacobs only gets you 6 fantasy points in a game. So I'll get off my soapbox now, but I didn't realize that about you and Tyler. So that kind of caught me in unexpectedly. All right. Well, there's a lot to expect on the show today, including even though Tausch isn't here, we will hear his voice time and time and time again. That's part of the charm of Old Boy, talking about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. More Wildy and Tausch with Brian Bulaga as our cousin sub of the day. Straight ahead, stick around.
Mark Tauscher here for Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Well, we talk a lot about the unprecedented quality and service you get from Pella. But talking to the people who work there, you can tell how much they genuinely love what they do. Pella's team is with you from start to finish. They don't disappear after the sale. Right now, take advantage of windows as low as $22 per month and doors as low as $89 per month. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends March 31st, 2025. Get started today at PellaWI.com.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Switch on the sky and the stars glow for you. Go see the world cause it's all so brand new. Don't close your eyes cause your future's ready to shine. It's just a matter of time before we learn how to fly.
All right, I know that got pretty heavy, so we'll lighten the mood. And Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike will join us momentarily to help us do that. I'm getting some questions in the YouTube comments. Because they're very perceptive there, the dwellers, as Jesse likes to call them. Did you get a new pair of cleats or basketball shoes? Because over your right shoulder, there appear to be some size 15 shoes. Is that high? Size 14? What size shoe do you wear?
No, those are 15s.
I got it. What are the chances?
Yeah.
Are you coming out of retirement? Do we need to know something?
No. Those are my indoor turf shoes from my last year in Green Bay. Like those were the indoor turf shoes that I wore on like Saturday jog throughs when we did our indoor, you know, deal with LaFleur on Saturdays before, you know, whatever it was. You know, if we weren't outside and we were on the indoor on Saturday jog through, that's what I wore. They were like basketball shoes, but they were for turf.
And so why are they out? Were you running around? Do you have an indoor turf area at your house? Like we do. We've got a little turf area, not very large. What were you doing?
I have a little strip of turf next door by the weight room. But I think they were in a box when Abby and I were cleaning stuff out, and I think she just put him there and I haven't even moved him.
He's just home alone and doesn't know where they go.
Yeah, like I just have not moved them. Like they've just been there. And sometimes, you know, like if I got to go run outside really quick because that door behind me leads outside and I don't have sandals or anything out here, I'll throw those on to run outside really quick just in case. because like I don't feel like going to get a pair of sandals. So like they're, I mean, multi-purpose. You know, you never know when you need a quick pair of shoes.
Sure, it's good that you kept them around so you can put them on to go run outside briefly. All right. That was definitely a very different vibe. That's good. We were able to get into the fun mode once again. And speaking of fun, Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike scheduled to appear next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
We're on the Brewers.
They're really good at identifying talent. They're really good at developing talent.
Because we're on Wisconsin Sports.
This is one of the best organizations in Major League Baseball.
100.5 ESPN.
You know that killer's music means it's time for Evan Cohen. And because he, although I don't think he's a Florida man anymore, I'm getting some pushback for Brian. And again, we love it when you're here. We're not here, you know, I know you like good, tough coaching. Not all of us do. But...
You don't say.
I didn't know your mic was live yet. So... the fans in the YouTube comments trying to understand how someone who lives in Florida doesn't have a pair of flip-flops or sandals at the ready for those moments where you just run outside briefly and instead is putting on his size 15 indoor cleats from his football career. Evan, you lived in Florida for a good chunk of your adult life. Is this aberrant behavior from Bulaga that he doesn't have flip-flops to run outside and instead he puts on his old Packers cleats to go outside when he has to run out there to get the mail?
They're turf shoes. They're turf shoes, by the way. They're not cleats. They're not. They don't have studs in them. They're just nubs. All right?
So let's nubs!
Wait a second. Brian. Oh, wait, hold on. So Brian and I are on, when I lived in Florida, it's a different side of the state than Bulaga lives. So it's not, I don't know if we're going to determine it different, like, hey, on the east coast of Florida, we wear flip-flops. But let's define a couple of things. Because, Jason, I don't know if you realize this. There's a big debate as to the definition of flip-flops. Is that like slide sandal types where there is no thing in between the toe? How do you define that? Because that's important, too.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I guess I always
bump. I don't like the thing in between the toe. I
don't either. God, it's alarming how much alike we can sometimes be. I really don't like that. No, I'm a slides guy. I am not the thong sandal with the little divider.
Wear thongs. He just announced that he was coming.
Just in case you were wondering, yes.
Okay, so, Brian, question for you on this. Do you think when you're going outside, like, you're playing football again? Like, is any time you're outdoors in your mind, like, a chance at a game? And that's why you wear these cleats?
No, okay, so, like...
Turf shoes!
No. Okay, so, like, I can't have a pair of sandals or slides at every single door at the house here. Like, this little door here leads out to where my little cold tub is, which then would lead out to like where the pool equipment is, where rocks are. So like if I need to get to the pool equipment, I'm not walking barefoot on rocks. So like I have a pair of shoes here just to get outside really quick. Like my slides are where, like, you know, the normal doors are to go outside where the kids play and all that. Like I don't have a million pairs of slides. I got one pair and they're over there. Like it's just, I don't have pairs at every door. It's just, I mean, that's just what it is. Like, I mean, I guess if the YouTube, you know, fans want me to buy more pairs, I can buy more pairs of slides, put them at every door. But I don't find it necessary. One pair is plenty.
Wait, I have another question on this because I have to do something. I have indoor shoes that I will only wear indoors, and I do not wear outside. I have a pair of flip-flops that are only indoor. Do you guys have that?
Wait a minute. Are they flip-flops or are they slides?
No, they're no toes. I'm sorry. You're a good catch. You're a journalist. It's a good job. You have to be precise.
Yeah, wait a minute. I'm glad Evan brought this up. This was the question I was going to ask. I have a pair of slides that I wear in the house, too. I don't like to walk around barefoot or in my socks. So in Casa de Bulaga.
What? In your socks you don't like?
Yeah, I like to have my slides on when I'm walking around the house.
All right, that's actually weirder than Bulaga wearing the turf shoes.
Okay, fair. I wouldn't go that far. So are you right now? I don't want to ask too personal of a question here, but are you wearing anything on your feet right now?
Well, I'm in a New York City parking garage.
Well, not you, Brian.
Oh.
I mean, I have a pair of socks on because I wear socks inside. Like, I don't mind wearing socks.
Wait, Ryan would love this show. Question. Wait, Jesse's got to put up the poll question. What is weirder, Bulaga wearing turf shoes to get the mail or Jason refusing to wear socks in his own home?
Well, only socks. I have socks and I have slides on right now. That's my basic status quo when I'm at home by myself or with people. All right, let's move on. Evan, the NFL draft is coming to Green Bay. I believe you are coming to Green Bay as well. Are you looking forward to that, or is it still there's a big celebration here in Green Bay because we are 1 month out from the draft arriving? Do people outside of here care about that kind of stuff? Are you that excited about it?
Hell yeah, I'm excited about coming to Green Bay. This is going to be awesome. We've been working with Travel Wisconsin and Pick Wisconsin because, like, it is a great place for the draft. I mean, when you're thinking about coming to the great state of Wisconsin that you have lived in forever and Brian played in and I went to school in, like, it is made for moments like this, is it not? Isn't it, like, the ultimate football heaven when you're thinking about the great state of Wisconsin? It's awesome for that.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree. But I am curious because I've also seen, and I was talking to someone who's in charge of the security and all the other stuff as they're starting to prepare for the draft, and I didn't know what kind of numbers they were expecting here, and I'm very curious how they arrive at this number. But in Detroit last year, they had over 700,000 people, and they seemingly were all booing Brian Bulaga at the same time when he took the stage.
Yes.
And now we're expecting around 250,000 over the 3 days here in Green Bay. And I don't know the math there. We got a great thing we're doing with Verizon. We got a great thing we're doing with Travel Wisconsin. There's a lot of fun stuff that we have going on. But I guess I expected that the disparity in that number is huge, right? That's 500,000 people difference between how many people went to Detroit and how many people were expecting here. And I don't know why that would be. Is that because we don't have enough places?
It's definitely because of hotels, don't you think? But I'm wondering about one thing. Is this a preemptive strike by you, Jason, to properly defend the great state of Wisconsin inevitably when the draft comps are provided of last year we had X amount of people versus this year Y amount of people?
Yes, that was the first thought I had when I was told this by someone in the security realm that they were only expecting 250,000. They want to make it more about the experience than the sheer number of people, which I kind of feel like that's what you say when you're not going to have the sheer number of people coming.
Yeah, I mean, I would look at it too like I was at the Detroit one, and I mean, it was a massive setup with how they had it. You know, where they had everything set up. And Green Bay setting it up where in the Johnsonville area, you know, and
it's
where
on the players. So the theater is on Oneida Street and it will be facing toward Lambeau Field. And it's the theater is huge. So there'll be lots of covering in case we get snow like we have the last 2 days here. But again, they're not anticipating.
Yeah, that sounds great. That sounds lovely.
Yeah, no, that's a problem, Jason. Can you arrange no snow for Brian and I?
Gonna need your closed-toe shoes.
this can't be. I can't be sitting here every day screaming and yelling about how great Wisconsin is, and then we get snow for the draft. Jason, you have to fix this. This is not right.
I will use my
radio every day. They're doing this. This is ridiculous.
Here's your 250. That's your 250,000 number right there. That's why. Because there could be a snowstorm. That's why. There could be a torrential snowstorm.
Can I ask you guys a question? I've been dying to know something. Not to change topics here, but of course I will. So I saw on the internet this report about Rodgers and Packers culture, and I'm like, that can't be true. And I said to my producer this morning, I said, where is that coming from? And he did some research. I'm like, wait, it's from Albert Breer? Like, it's a legit great reporter. So when Aaron Rodgers reportedly is looking for a culture like the Packers, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't he want to leave?
Well, it's a little more complicated than that, right, Brian?
Yeah. I mean, listen, obviously, I wasn't, you know, when he left, I wasn't there anymore, right? Like, it was... That was in what, Jason? Was that in 20?
His last season was 2022. Your last season 22. In Green Bay was 2019.
Yeah, so
are
like,
you
I wasn't
that's
there.
Why he wanted out? Because you weren't there. I'm taking it that way, Brian. That he wanted
that's
out.
Reason number
no
one.
Bulaga, no Aaron.
Yeah, amazing that he lasted three more seasons without you.
And won two MVPs without me. Yeah, and won two MVPs.
Well, nonetheless, we can ignore some of that stuff. But go ahead.
Yeah, but I think, I don't know if it was he wanted out. I think what was going on, and I guess there's a lot of different ways to look at it. I think the culture that maybe Breer, and I didn't read the article, the culture that he really, at least that I thought early on that he really liked, was a veteran presence culture. He really liked that culture of having a very veteran-based locker room. And when you looked at that locker room early on, in my time there, and you looked around that locker room, it was just littered with veteran guys and guys from ages or years in the league from probably four and up, and guys that have had experience and been around the block and been on the team and understood, you know, what was supposed to be done. And as time went on there, those guys started to be pushed out the door, and they were never replenished with guys of the same stature, right? And by the time Aaron got to that 2022 phase, that team, I mean, as Jason knows now, and still as we still talk about it today, right, it's a very young team. And Aaron didn't really, at least the way I saw it, didn't really recognize that team anymore, right? It was so different than what he was used to and the culture that he was like, that he liked so much about the organization. Like, even when LaFleur came in 2019, that was a veteran team, man. Like, that team was a very veteran-based team. It was a very tight-knit team. And as time went on there, they slowly started to just cut loose those older guys until they got to 2022, and then it was the youngest team in the league. And that's kind of where they've been since then, right? And it's continued on that path. So I don't know what culture would best fit that. I mean, you look at the culture right now that best fits that, I'm looking at Minnesota. To me, that's the best fit. I've been saying it for
than Pittsburgh. But that's the thing. So, go back for a second, Brian, because you bring up a bunch of good points. So then for both of you, if I were to say blindly, if we never heard about this report with Rodgers looking for a Packers-like culture in his next stop, we never heard about this, right? And I were to blindly say to you guys, define what Packers culture is.
Well, I would say this. I would say that what Brian's talking about, and first, before we move forward, because Brian, you said you hadn't seen this, and you know that I love to read on the radio. So let me just read what Albert Breer wrote, because I think this is more, I want to say, educated guests and conversations with people in Rodgers' orbit and not talking to Rodgers himself.
Well, that's for sure, because I don't know. Jeff Darlington, Jason, before you read this, because it's a good add-on to what you just said. Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter, was on with us this morning, and he said no one actually knows because Rodgers doesn't have a circle. And I said, well, what shape does he have? A triangle? A square? He said a dot. Just him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a pretty good line.
I mean, if it's it's a dot and maybe a It's a dot with a maybe a very small dot next to it. Like, it's, it, I mean, he obviously he's got representation, but the representation is just who you know, echoes his, what he wants to get out. So, like, that's just, that's essentially what it is. I mean, and he, I think he's earned that, right? I mean, that's the way it goes, right? I mean, it's his message.
Oh, of course, he wants, I mean, he can do whatever the hell he wants. He's not breaking laws, hurting people, not doing anything. Like, he may not be everyone's favorite, mine included. He's not hurting people. He's not harming people. He's not breaking laws. For me, he's just become a guy that, like, I wouldn't be overly interested to go to lunch with, and he wouldn't be overly interested to go to lunch with me. No big deal. Anyway, Jason, go ahead.
Here's what Albert Breer wrote.
That's why Jason feels about me, too. So go ahead, Jason Breer.
That's not entirely true.
I've heard Rodgers is looking for a culture such as one in Green Bay. I get it if that sounds a little strange after the drama of the four-time MVP's final years as a Packer. But over the past few months, Rodgers has been open with people around him on his renewed appreciation for what he had for 18 seasons in Wisconsin. Call it a grass-is-greener dynamic if you want, but it definitely has felt to some of those around him like spending a couple of years as a New York Jet made Rodgers view the situation he had more favorably. Okay? So that's what Albert Breer wrote. I have said this lots of...
He went from the library to the circus. That's what he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a real... That's Tausch would be proud of that analogy. But... Here's my criticism that I've had from.
Well, then I don't like it.
Then I flesh it.
Because I said Tauschwood. Yeah, I got it. I got that. Yeah. So my harshest critique of him, especially in the 2022 season, and those that listen to the show regularly have heard this, I didn't like, because Brian made a great point. It was veteran laden teams. Guys that he knew what they were doing, right? There was a professionalism as opposed to having to teach young guys how to be pros. But my argument was always he could have handled it as being fun Uncle Aaron, right? He's the much older guy. They bring in Dobbs and Samari Toure and Christian Watson at wide receiver in 22. They trade away Devontae Adams. He has Alan Lazard, and he has Randall Cobb, but the vestiges of his veteran-laden team, they're already starting to dissipate. So instead of pivoting and saying, all right, I'm going to embrace these young guys, I'm going to pour everything I have into them, instead he's pissed off that he's got these young receivers who don't know what they're doing. And I think he's one of those guys. I was saying this to Chewy and Gabe this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. He's not one to come out and flat out say, I was wrong. That's not his deal. But I thought if you watched Hard Knocks the year that he blew out his Achilles, and I don't think it was just acting for the cameras, I think he realized he went to the offseason program. He really tried very hard to connect with those young players there. That was his way of admitting, I didn't do a good job of this in my last year in Green Bay. So for me, what Albert Breer is writing here tracks a little bit. And my hope, and maybe I'm just an optimist, is that he is recognizing, you know what, I have to do things differently if I want to finish my Hall of Fame first ballot career on a much higher note than what happened in New York. And I do think that matters.
Let me ask you this then.
Yeah.
Jason, mm-hmm. Brian, let me ask you this, guys. If you're a Packers fan today, are you puffing? You hear Jason read this from Albert Breer of SI. Are you puffing out your chest a little bit saying, see, I told you so. Mm-hmm. We are actually headed in a great direction. You should have stayed with us. Or are you like, I mean, I'm wondering how the Packer fan feels that there is a chance that Aaron Rodgers is looking to recreate the Green Bay Packers somewhere else. Can't eliminate an owner, obviously, but.
Yeah. I mean, I think, to be honest with you, I mean, I think a lot of franchises from a culture standpoint would love to recreate what a culture, from a culture standpoint, what the Green Bay Packers have. Obviously, no owners want to create what the Green Bay Packers have from a because right. of the financials of it. But from a culture standpoint, when coaches go to a place, that is the type of culture, because it's all about football, right? And I think that's another thing Aaron misses, that like everything is so about football. And when he went to the Jets, there's a lot of things that aren't about football going on in that building, right? And he talked about it, about people leaking things outside, that you didn't know who was leaking things to the media and this and that. And it, that doesn't happen in Green Bay, right? Like, it's all about the team, and it's all about what can propel the team to win. And I think that's probably another, you know, aspect to this of the culture that he's looking to get back into. And I guess, you know, from that standpoint, yeah, maybe that is Pittsburgh as well. Pittsburgh maybe fits that bill with Mike Tomlin and kind of what he does. And I get the Vikings are probably a younger roster, but if you look at what offensively the Vikings have, it's so much more complete. It's so much more complete for what he needs. And the defenses, obviously, with Flores and what they do, is so, I mean, and I'm not saying Pittsburgh doesn't have a good defense. They do with Watt and those guys. Like, they're good defense. But what Minnesota has at, you know, at their ready right now, this is before the draft, Aaron Rodgers walks in there, and that's a ready-made team, mm-hmm. right? Like, and it's just, it's the same scheme. He knows the head coach. The receivers are dynamic. The tight end's dynamic. The running back's dynamic. The offensive line is good. I mean, it's a really good setup, and the defense is good. It's aggressive. It's a very, you know, takeaway-oriented defense with Flores. Like, to me, it's the best setup. But, I mean, I keep, you know, because I listen, I mean, I listen to clips of, you know, you guys and Canty, and he keeps talking about the Steelers. I don't see the Steelers. I don't see how it fits. I don't see how it fits.
I think you're right, and I've been on that the entire time of, like, I don't think he's going there, because if he was going there, he would have been there already. Part of me thinks he wants an excuse to go to the Giants. But I am fascinated by something else that you just said, Brian. When you say it's all about football in Green Bay, and that is what other teams are trying to copy and may not be able to, like, is there a tangible example where you would say, in Green Bay we handled it this way, and when I went to the Chargers, this would never have been handled this way if it was in Green Bay?
You know, I just think when things aren't – when things aren't going well, right? Like, when you hit a rough patch throughout a season, there isn't any wavering or looking over your shoulder or worried about potentially what an owner may think or the pressure a coach may feel about what an owner is thinking in Green Bay. It is all about the next one, where I think in potentially – in L.A., I mean, I was in L.A. for the 2 years. Anthony Lynn was fired in the first year. Like, I mean, he was gone, and it was most likely the writing was on the wall probably by week 11 or 12, right? Like, it was probably at that point, probably when we got blown out by New England. I think we lost, like, 45 to nothing.
You guys were horrific on special teams in that game. It was one of the worst coach games I've ever seen in my life. That was an awful performance by the Chargers that day.
Yeah, so, like, at that point in time, like, the writing's on the wall, right? And, like, I'm not – but that never happened in Green Bay. But, like, you hit a rough patch like that
said something fascinating. You just said – and I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm dying. I'm like, so into this right now. What you just said to me is, when you play for the Packers, no one is in job preservation mode. That's what you just said.
I never noticed that, yeah.
And that's probably why, Jason, when you guys got the news about McCarthy, it was so stunning, because you've never covered someone in job preservation mode, where people are working like, oh my God, we have to keep our jobs, not do our jobs.
Well, and Brian was on that team, and I would think that you would feel the same way as me about that instance specifically of, we kind of thought it was the beginning of the end for Mike. We'd never thought they were going to fire him with 4 games left in the season.
No.
Because it's exactly. The Packers.
Right, and because it was knee-jerkish by Mark Murphy. Like, it was, I mean, it was so poorly planned that, I mean, Mike had to come back into the building the next day to say goodbye to his players because of the way the president did that. But, Brian, back to your point, that dynamic is, that moment sticks out so much because it's so rare.
Yeah, like, that's the thing, like, rarely, I mean, and listen, those two seasons, 17 and 18, were rough, right? Like, obviously, Mike got fired in 18, but 17 was no better, right? Like, 17 was a bad season, too. And if you remember 16, even though we made it to the NFC Championship, 16 was bad. We lost six straight and rattled off nine straight to get to the NFC Championship. Right. So there were signs that things were starting to go a little shaky, right? Like, but for somehow we righted the ship in 16 and went on a run and got there, right? But the signs were there. But there was never a time in 17 that, like, guys were like, all right, like, that you could feel that, like, Mike or the coaching staff were, like, really, like, coaching for their jobs. Like, you never felt that, right? Like, it was just like, we have to get back on track here. Like, we know who we have in this locker room. We know the guys. Let's put wins together. And you never felt that until, you had an idea in 18 that a change probably was going to be made at the end of the season. Like, you kind of knew it, because it was not acceptable to lose that many games in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers in a row. Like, it's just, you know what I mean? Like, and everyone's got a part to play in it, right? But, like, unfortunately, the head coach takes the brunt of that before any players. That's just the way it goes when you have a Hall of Fame quarterback. But, like, no one expected it to be with four games left, right? Like, just no one really expected that. That's why that kind of stands out as a shocking moment. But to me, that's what stands out different than other places. And again, I only played in two. Like, Evan, Chris played, who you co-host with, played in a few different places. But he was never in Green Bay where he didn't have that dynamic, but he played with owners. He played with good owners too, right, in different spots. But and it's to me, that was the dynamic that I noticed a lot. Like, you could feel vibe changes in the building.
Yeah. For sure. The way you're laying it out makes so much sense. You know, he I don't want to speak for him, but he visited the Packers twice on free agent visits and did not sign. He played for, you know, the Giants when they were at their peak, won a Super Bowl, the Ravens, obviously. And at the time he was with the Cowboys, it's interesting because the owner that everyone rags on now in Jerry Jones was superseded by Bill Parcells because he played for Parcells there.
Mm-hmm. You know,
totally different than what you experience now in Dallas.
Yes. Very different. They're very different, I would say.
Evan, we will talk to you next week when Tausch is scheduled to be back so you two can do your verbal jousting that I know you both enjoy so much. We appreciate your insights today. This was fun. Thanks.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That is Evan Cohen. You can hear him on Unsportsmanlike with the aforementioned Chris Canty and, of course, Michelle Smallman. I do want to I want to come back to this. We still have another segment in the 9 o'clock hour, so it's almost like when Brian Bulaga is a guest on the show. We do the same thing. So we got a little more, but I do want to ask one follow up to what Brian was saying there. We'll get to that coming up. I want to remind you, and Evan even mentioned this, Verizon is giving you a chance to win the ultimate draft experience with the Road to the Draft sweepstakes. 10 lucky winners will win tickets to the first day of the 2025 NFL Draft right here in Green Bay, including round-trip car service from Milwaukee, hotel accommodations, plus access to the Verizon viewing zone where you'll be taken care of like a first-round pick. So don't miss your chance to win the ultimate draft experience powered by Verizon. Hurry to select Wisconsin Verizon locations and enter by April 13th. So, again, swing by your local Verizon store. Make sure you get registered for this great opportunity. More with Brian Bulaga, our cousin sub of the day. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Evan Cohen on Wilde and Tausch is brought to you by Verizon. Verizon is the official 5G network of the NFL. Visit a Madison area Verizon store today.
I remember the nights when we were young, dumb, and wild and free. When I closed my eyes, I could see you in my sweatshirt. Dancing around that college bar these days. I don't know where you are, but I get to keep these memories forever.
Thanks as always, Devin Cohen, for joining us. It was a very interesting conversation, even though I try to avoid too much Aaron Rodgers talk on our program, since I know there are some that are not interested in that discussion. You mentioned something interesting, though, and I want to quickly circle back to it. So in 2017, Rodgers breaks his collarbone. You tear an ACL for the second time in your career, correct?
Yep.
That team was off to a 4-1 start.
Mm-hmm.
I always love the story about Devontae Adams in Dallas, and Rodgers throws an incomplete pass with a chance to go take the lead late in the game in the red zone, and Devontae comes back to the huddle and says, run that play again, but throw a better damn pass, which told me where Devontae... I love that story. Rodgers shared that story, and it's one of my favorites because it tells you that was when Devontae Adams became the number one receiver, and Jordy Nelson was supportive of that. And that's why they didn't need to cut him in 2018, but that takes us down another path that I don't want to go down. But you guys were off to a really good start that year, and then Rodgers breaks his collarbone. It's more severe than the time he broke it in 2013. He's not anywhere close to being the same. You guys go to Carolina and you lose. They put Rodgers right back onto IR, and that season... You know, like you said, you didn't have Rodgers for most of it. Brett Hundley was not good, and that's a lost season. And then 18, you just had that feeling that, especially with Aaron and Mike, that things had kind of run their course. What is that like as a season when you kind of can feel that undercurrent of, this? Because you knew what good teams look like. You knew what connected teams look like. Was that just a... What was that like for you as you were coming back from the ACL in 18 to kind of have that vibe about that team?
Yeah, like, you know, when I was coming back in, you know, the 2014 season from the ACL, and, you know, you're working back into that team, and, you know, everyone knows that team. That 2014 team was amazing. It was fantastic, and you know, you could feel that in training camp. You could feel that in OTAs. And when I got back into that lineup in OTAs, like, you could just feel it immediately in 2014 that it was like, all right, this team is ridiculous. Like, this team's going to be amazing. Like, everything is clicking. Everything's good. Since I tore my ACL later in that season in 2017, I didn't get to start working back with the team until late training camp. So when I got back in late training camp, normally you would expect, you know, things to be pretty fluent and working well and clicking by the end of training camp. And when I got back in to practicing full speed with the team, the offense just didn't seem to be going the way it normally does, right? Like, and you listen, there's times throughout training camp where the offense has a bad day or a bad few days and it's up and down a little bit, and that happens, and that's okay, right? You work through those things, and the coaches tell you it's the end of the world, and it's really not, and, you know, you find your way through it. But this was – it felt different. It felt like there was an obstacle in front of us, right? Like, it just felt like we were not going to be able to push – through it, no matter what we were doing. Like, it would be like we would take two steps forward and then one step back, and it just felt like we were constantly doing that, and we never could get our footing. And then we get into the regular season, and it just continued to feel like that, and we just never could get a rhythm offensively. And we all know that, you know, for our team at that point in time, with the defense that we had good players defensively, but we knew if our offense can't go out there and score 28 or so points a game and really take pressure off our defense and get them off the field and get them to a point in the game where they can pass rush and be super aggressive and play the style that they want to play, it's going to be difficult, right? Like, we're going to put our defense in bad spots, and that's what we did constantly to our defense. And that's what the record showed, right? Like, we couldn't finish drives. We were three and out a bunch. It just was sloppy. And that's what it felt like. And it was just It was just a very odd, weird season, and you could feel it in training camp. You could just feel that something wasn't right mm-hmm. from an offensive standpoint from the jump, and it carried over into the season. And so it wasn't shocking to me how we performed throughout the year, right? Like normally, you know, like in 2016, it's a great example. Like we had ups and downs in 2016 during training camp. Like we had good moments, and then we had bad moments where we were being told, like, you know, like I said earlier, like the world's ending. You got, you know, this is, but like we pulled out of that, and we ended up, you know, and we went through a bad skid throughout the regular season, but we pulled out of that and did what we were able to do. So like, there's ways to get yourself out of that and connect and come together and win a lot of games. There was no feeling of that in 2018. Like, you know, you just didn't have that feeling that we had that in us to be able to get out of that. And that was a very bad, like a weird bad feeling that I had never had in Green Bay. Like, it just was, right? Like, because forever, and I'll say this, and I don't care what people say or any, like, I knew and I always felt like, as long as Aaron Rodgers was healthy and you know, our offensive line was doing their job and we could give him time, he could win us football games. Like, he could win. Like, he could get us out of issues, and he could make things happen, and that's what it is. It wasn't happening. And, like, it, you know what I mean? Like, we could give him 5 seconds. We can give him 6 seconds. It just wasn't working. And that's just – that was the nature of it. And, like, there was no – and the crazy thing about that season, too, like, you would expect infighting in-house between players. There wasn't. There was no finger-pointing. There was no blaming. I don't remember any of that. There was none of that. It was just like a collective looking at each other like, what the hell is going on? And no one could put their finger on it. That's the best way. I don't know how else to describe it, but it was a very, very weird feeling.
Yeah, and the results were what they were as a result. So I appreciate that insight, Brian. Hey, this show, you don't have that feeling. When Brian Blog is here, the energy, he can go win the show for us, just like Aaron Rodgers. and speaking of winning, when it comes to being injured and needing representation, you want people who win. You want people that don't take a penny from you unless they win. And that, of course, is Grubel Offices. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Or go to the website, gruber-law.com, to find out more about the firm, all the great lawyers that are there, everything David and his family do in our communities, and more importantly, to start the process if you need their help to get on the right side of the system. Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. The 10 o'clock hour starts very late, but that's just okay, because we've got Brian Bulaga as our cousin sub of the day. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.